You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with the Writer, where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to Hot Texas with the Hot Texas Rhythm Band. And
this is episode number 146.
46.
And we are so delighted that you are with us again tonight, or maybe you're listening later this evening or a week from now, or you're on Podbean, or you're at LA Talk Radio's our page there, wherever you are. We are delighted that you're with us tonight. And, you know, Jim, we have a little announcement.
We do.
We have an announcement.
We were talking about having ice cream and cake, right?
Oh, yeah, that's two announcements. So recently, just this past week, a few days ago, we just launched a landing page, kind of a web page for all things Rendezvous with a Writer. And we are just delighted. Just go to rendezvouswithawriter.com and you'll be able to click around and go to all the places where you can listen, where you can watch, where you can email us and so forth. And we want to thank Janelle of Clicks by Madison, who created that landing page for us through the Blue Cottage Agency. And we're just delighted to announce it. So go have some fun. And next week, you were saying, a week from tonight, August 7th of 2025.
3 years.
Will be our third year birthday. And we hope that you can join us with our guests next week. It's been a fast 3 years.
It's a lot of books.
Yeah, it's like 154 books or something. Well, tonight's episode 146. So it's 146 books. Anyway, we are delighted that you're here. And without any further ado, who is our guest tonight?
Who's our guest? All right, John Radjall.
John has just entered the screen time. Hello, John.
Hello, how are you?
We're good.
We're going to be talking about his book tonight, The Familiar Stranger, co-written by Steve Kelton, kind of carry on characters in a storyline from Steve's father, Elmer Kelton.
Yes.
For you folks out here to know, one of the great, you know, one of the great Western writers of all time. So,
yes.
And this is an entertaining book. We had a good time with it.
So, John, where are you joining us from tonight?
I am joining you from my office in Abernathy, Texas.
Okay. All right. And we hear
it's one of the small towns, about 2,200 people. Is that right?
That's right. It's kind of in the southern part of the panhandle, West Texas.
Right. Yeah, for you people that are not familiar with Texas very well, which is a lot of us, it's a little north of Lubbock.
Right.
That's right.
Well, John, we're just so happy to have you with us, and we're going to get started. Jim has a little bio he's going to share.
John Bradshaw is a native of the small town Abernathy, Texas. He is an award-winning journalist with well over 1,000 published stories. Elmer Kelton's The Familiar Stranger, co-authored with Steve Kelton, is his first book. John attended South Plains College, followed by Texas Tech University. He pursued a career in journalism and supplemented his income by shoeing horses. In 2007, he accepted a full-time position with Livestock Weekly, in which he still freelances for today. He and his wife, Sarah, live outside Abernathy. Sarah owns an architectural firm, and they raise Spanish goats, hair sheep, and cattle. Welcome, John.
You're so happy.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
This is such a fun read, as Jim was just saying. There is entertaining reading on every page. Huey Calloway, the main character, is someone, you know, you just want to hang out with him, don't you?
Yeah.
He's entertaining.
He's a good old boy.
He's got a fun look at life. He's an adventurer. People love him. People really like to be around him, don't they?
No, they do.
Yeah, we should all have a Huey in our life.
You
want
to make sure you invite him to your party. Yeah.
So, John, is there anything else maybe about your background you'd like to expand on a bit? Schooling or horseshoeing or, you know, something else that you'd like to talk a little bit more about?
You covered it pretty well, but I don't know. I always wanted to write. I, like many others, I made a mistake when I chose my major in college, and I should have chose journalism or English. I got a business degree and realized I didn't want to do anything that had to do with a business degree. So I just started writing, and I kept at it until I could do it for a living.
Yeah.
It's great.
Do you want to, we mentioned Livestock Weekly and you mentioned about journalism. How did you get started in journalism?
Well, I just started freelancing for several different magazines and newspapers, and Livestock Weekly was one of my goals, just because for every rancher in Texas, it comes every Thursday or Friday, and it came to our house those days. And so I grew up with it and I always wanted to write for them. And I began freelancing a little bit more and more for them until they finally offered me a job.
Oh, okay.
When you were in school or before school, did you do some writing then? Did you write stories then before you hooked up with the Livestock Weekly?
I wrote a little, not a lot. I always had it in the back of my mind. I always read a lot. I read every day since I was a little kid. I read every single day without fail. So
yeah. Now, the book is co-authored with Steve Kelton, and it's here. I'm holding up the book. If you're listening, I'm holding up the book. And of course, at the top of the cover is Elmer Kelton's The Familiar Stranger, a Huey Calloway adventure. And it's an Elmer Kelton Western by Steve Kelton and John Bradshaw. So tell us a little bit about your relationship with Elmer and Steve, if you would.
Okay. Elmer was my hero. Elmer wrote, if my count is correct, 67 books, including some nonfiction. And so I began reading Elmer's books when I was a kid, and I loved them. And then Elmer had written for Livestock Weekly and was later the editor. And then his son Steve was my editor. And Steve and I got very close because we communicated so often, like no telling how many thousands of emails he and I exchanged over the years. And so Elmer had written three books with Huey Calloway and that cast of characters. The Good Old Boys was the first, and then he wrote The Smiling Country, and then he wrote Six Bits a Day. And that's not the chronological order of those stories, but that's how he wrote them. And then after Elmer died, Steve wrote his book, The Unlikely Lawman, and then Steve had begun The Familiar Stranger, and Steve passed away in 2022, and Steve's wife, Karen, asked me to take over the manuscript, which was a huge honor for me to take over Steve's work, but also Elmer's characters. So that was a really big deal for me. And
yes.
I know you met Elmer. Were you able to spend much time with him?
I spent a little time with him, not a lot. Elmer was a very, very nice man. Anybody you talk to will tell you that he was just a very nice, genuine, and humble man. He told me something kind of funny when I talked to him about writing. He said, "Don't quit your day job." And I hope he meant keep your income coming in until the writing pays more. And I hope that's what he meant, and that wasn't a jab at my skill, but you never know. But that is what he meant. He wanted people to keep their day job, not get that up, give that up until they had their writing going a little stronger.
I think he may kind of be known for that quote. I don't know if he was the first one to kind of say it, and then it's gotten great advice carried over the years. But we certainly have heard that before, and I think I've heard people say, "Well, like Elmer Kelton says."
Yep. But yeah, Elmer was a really nice man. He was known. I've been told that fans would knock on his door at his house and for an autograph or to sign a book, and he would invite them in to sit and talk to him, have a cup of coffee or something.
Wow.
Well, that's pretty friendly. Actually, I could see somebody thinking, oh, no, so those people coming here again? Get this people out of here. Get my gun.
My goodness. Well, since we're already talking a little bit about the story behind the story, we're going to take our first break a few minutes early. And we're going to talk about Blue Cottage, one of our sponsors, Blue Cottage. And here's how we're going to just set this up. Are you a writer? Maybe you'd like to increase your social media presence, refresh your website, or like we just did, launch a website or a landing page. Our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, are standing by to assist you. Here's exciting news about a new feature offered to writers. And Sam, if you could play that, and then we'll be right back. Don't go away. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. We're talking with John Bradshaw in the book, The Familiar Stranger, which he wrote with Steve Kelton.
So, John, since you've already begun to tell us a little bit about how this came your way, let's just see. So you've already told us a little bit about the earlier books and how it connected. But you were handed the story. Can you tell us a little bit about what you got from, how much of the story had Steve written and what did you pick up with?
Okay. I can tell you, first of all, that in the book is about Huey making his way to Canada because that had been mentioned in The Good Old Boys. And so Elmer had always intended to write a book where Huey went to Canada and he just never got to it. So I did get from Elmer's daughter, Kathy, some of Elmer's notes about it. And then from Steve or from Steve's widow, Karen, I got a 15,000 word manuscript and it was not the beginning 15,000 or the ending 15,000. It was 1,000 here and 1,000 there and here. And also got a half a page outline. And so I had to spend a lot of time figuring out how Steve got from here to here to here in his mind because he skipped around. And sometimes it was difficult to figure out how Huey and the other characters ended up in this town with this happening because there were such large gaps. And I had to spend a lot of time with my feet propped up on the desk figuring out what Steve had intended in that moment.
Huh. How long did it take you?
It took me about maybe 6 months from the time I got it.
So there's some reoccurring characters from the other books that had been written. Were there some challenges in... did you feel you needed to develop them or not age them, but as you're writing, is Huey that we meet in this book the same Huey from the earlier books? Has he changed it all, or you know, were you having to really figure out how to get into Huey's skin?
I hope that Huey did not change, other than maybe having aged just a touch and matured. I had read all the previous books, some of them multiple times, but I did go back and read every Hugh Calloway book of Elmer's and Steve's and tried to really, you know, get that in my mind so that I could stay true to those characters. And I hope that I stayed true to Hugh, to who Elmer and Steve intended Huey to be. I believe I did.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like you did. Us being kind of neophytes here. But, you know, I think the Satan's now giving you permission to continue on.
That's right. I have a deal with the Elmer Kelton Estate to continue. And I have since written another Huey Calloway book, and I'm working on getting it published right now.
It's fabulous. So tell us, let's just talk about Huey for a few moments. Sure. Tell us, we don't want spoiler alerts, but we'd really love to have you tell us about Huey.
What kind of guy
is he? Yeah, who is he? And whatever you would like to share, and then we can ask you some questions about him.
Huey is a footloose cowboy who has a tremendous amount of skill at his craft as a cowboy and a horse breaker and a horseman. But Huey is prone to making bad decisions, and he often stumbles into situations that he shouldn't if he'd have just taken a moment to think things through a little more. And Huey has a really, really big heart. Huey is known to give away his money and help anyone in need. And he's a good man who often gets in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. And
he's kind of an adventurous guy, but he doesn't seem to have girlfriends for too long, does he? He kind of like, he'd rather go on an adventure than actually spend some time with a girl.
Yeah. Some of the later books, Huey finally settles down somewhat, but, you know, Huey was prone to run from anything that would tie him down in his youth, whether that was a job for too long or a wife or anything like that. Huey wanted to see new places and new things, and he would not be tied to one thing.
Yeah. Is he a good cook?
No. Not at all.
You know, I got to thinking, we got to thinking about cooking. I said to Bobby, you know, I said, he's on a campfire. And he's got a skillet, and he can only put fish or bacon or something in there. How can he screw that up?
Yep. Huey's known to be a poor cook.
Let's see. How about with a firearm? Is he pretty good with a firearm?
Huey is not, you know, it's not a traditional shoot 'em up sort of Western. Huey never carries a gun. He has a gun in his saddlebags, yeah. But... he can shoot a rifle a little bit, but he's by no means a gunfighter.
Yeah, yeah. And would you say he's lucky?
I would say probably not. Throughout the books, Huey often runs into bad luck.
But he's always optimistic, and it's always upbeat. You know, upbeat. And sometimes I'm not sure that he realizes he just didn't have good luck there. You know, he just looks about it. He turns things around, and he, you know, that adventure spirit, I think he just kind of keeps going. When you talked about being a big heart, one of the kind of an early on, he comes across, you know, a cabin. Yeah. And is there a thunderstorm going on in that scene? He's trying, I think, to get out of the rain.
Yeah.
And he, you know, knocks on the door, and there's no answer. And then there's a feeble answer, and he just goes ahead and comes on in. And what's happening in that cabin at that moment?
He comes across a young man who is deathly ill with smallpox. And as much as Huey would like to run away, he cannot do it. And he stays and nurses the man back to health.
Yep. That's that big heart. And then, yep. and then he gets it. And then, he survives it, obviously. And young man that he helped stays, of course, and helps him. And so it's a, you know, he just blunders into things, and then he just stays, you know, he stays with it. He's just a wonderful character.
And he doesn't seem to get in too much trouble because he's got a number of friends that are lawmen.
Yeah.
The marshals and sheriffs, and they seem to like him, they know he tells tall tales and doesn't maybe stretches the truth, but they seem to kind of like him. So
yeah. Well, and it is an adventure story, and I think of the smallpox incident a little bit like an adventure. Not expecting it, he comes upon it, and you know, there he is with it. But we have some other episodes. When you were writing, I'm sure Steve maybe had some of those, but did you add more adventure type episodes to kind of keep true to the fact that this is not a gunfighter story, this is an adventure story?
That's right. Yeah, Steve had written a few of those things that you're referring to, but I came up with some of the other ones and expanded on Steve's, and that was both of us. That's what the book's about. It's just an adventure story. Huey just wanting to see Canada because he never had, and
yeah,
he just runs into trouble along the way.
So you take him to Cheyenne, to the Frontier Days in Cheyenne, and he gets there on the last day. They know, he and Bob Wilson, and they know they're going to get there on the last day. It's going to take them a couple of days. But it is such a fun – what happens to him in Cheyenne?
They're supposed to be staying off the radar due to a Pinkerton detective looking for his friend Bob, but Huey is unable to follow instructions or stay off the radar, so they go to Cheyenne because they're nearby and he can't help himself. And Huey wants to enter the bronc riding, and he forces his friend to also enter. And, you know, because it's Huey, he can't take it easy, and he tries harder than he should to put on a good show, and it turns against him.
You know, I got a feeling you did not have to do a lot of research for this book, because we talk about training horses and bronc riding and shoeing horses, and I got a feeling you've done a bunch of that, right?
That is correct. I would not at all call myself a bronc rider, but I have broken quite a few horses in my younger days, and I shod horses for a living. I still ride horses all the time. I show ranch horses and rein cow horses, so this book and all my subsequent ones will probably have a lot of horse things in them and should be somewhat accurate.
There's we read several pages before we really have an idea of the time period. And then, let's see, we have electricity going in a place. The electricity starts to go off when the local sawmill goes down, and we kind of have an idea. And we run, and we have a very fun scene with an automobile. What happens with Huey and that driver?
Well, Elmer had written Huey to have a disdain for automobiles. Huey never thought that they would take hold. He thought they were a passing fad. He disliked them because they smelled bad and scared horses. And so I had Huey run into an automobile with a rude driver, and Huey has to take a little revenge on the man for being rude to his storekeeper.
Well, we do see that these characters are beginning to navigate some changes to the world as they know it, as the 1900s are, you know, kind of fast approaching. And was that a challenge to write? When you said maybe didn't have to do a lot of research, it made me kind of wonder, but did you have to really get the time period down that it would make sense?
I did. Yeah, and I did quite a bit of research on that. I wanted to be accurate on those facts and, you know, on the electricity and indoor plumbing and the population of Denver, as Huey talked about that with another man. I did a lot of research. I did a lot of research on Cheyenne Frontier Days also, and I talked to a man who worked in a museum up there, and I just tried to be as accurate as possible on all of those things.
Yeah. I know you have a question. I know you have a question, honey. I know you have a question or a comment.
You know, I seen me talking about where Huey's pulls his, helps pull the guy's car out of the mud. You know, that's an iconic picture, so to speak, because it seems like in the early days that was happening all the time. You know, much as to the chagrin of a car owner, he's having to have a cowboy by the horse pull him loose.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a scene with a doctor. They need to get a doctor quickly to one of the characters. And so Huey goes and he takes a horse and he finds the doctor, and the doctor really wants to take his buggy. And Huey says, no, we can't wait on that. And then they have an interesting conversation because the guy really doesn't know really how to ride a horse, really, does he, the doctor?
He does not.
He does not.
Huey was surprised that anyone could be so successful at life without having any horse sense whatsoever, because to Huey, having horse sense equates to intelligence. So.
And that doctor, remember what he says? He says, kind of under his breath, he's saving his money to get one of those automobiles.
Yeah, he wants to buy a car.
Yep. And Huey thinks that might be a good idea for that man.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a very fun scene, and we're not going to tell you what happens because, dear reader, this is another reason that you'll want to read this book. But Huey and his horse Biscuit, they are quite a team. Huey and Biscuit are having some, you know, drinking some water from a river, and they smell the most horrible smells they've ever smelled. And Huey looks, they look up, like both of them, like, what are we, you know, and he looks across the river. And he sees something.
But we can't tell you.
And
what?
We're not going to tell you what he sees because you have to read it.
That's right. But it's something that frightens horse terribly.
I think only you could encounter this creature, you know?
It's an adventure. It's an adventure story. We're going to step away, John, for just another moment. And we're going to share one of the places that you can order the books of many of our author guests, including tonight's book that we're talking about, Elmer Kelton's The Familiar Stranger, a Huey Calloway adventure by tonight's guest, John Bradshaw. You can find their books on the Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. And when we come back, we're going to talk in a little greater depth about some of the other characters that crossed Huey's path in this story. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking with John Bradshaw and the book, The Familiar Stranger.
Yeah. The Familiar Stranger. John, yeah. Where did that title come from?
That came from Steve. That was all him. Okay. But I can tell you why. It's because Huey begins to run into the man with smallpox repeatedly as he travels. So that man is the Familiar Stranger.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we were talking about this character, Huey Calloway, and what's it like to inherit a character that you kind of know something about, but you got to continue on with him? Was that difficult?
It was a little bit, but I was so familiar with Huey from reading those books before that I at least felt like I knew Huey, and as time went on, I really felt like I knew Huey. I almost felt like Huey was my friend.
There's another character that I'm thinking maybe would be reoccurring also, Hanley Baker. And they have a special friendship. You want to chat a little bit about him?
Yep. Hanley is an invention of Steve. He was in The Unlikely Lawman, and Huey and Hanley hit it off, and they became friends. Hanley is a retired Texas Ranger. He is a man with a lot of skill and not a lot of patience with Huey, but they're friends nonetheless.
Yeah, they're good. They're good pards in the saddle. They're good. They really work well together. But they start out together, and then Hanley's like, "Well, I'm going to go see some family, and so here we're going to part. And I'm going to go here, and I'll meet you up with you, you know, in 2 weeks." And then we follow Huey, and we get whatever adventures are happening to him, right? And then they kind of come, you know, back together again, and then they go their separate ways.
Well, I find it interesting. You got two guys who are taking separate trips, and almost on, of course, different timetables, and they're all going to meet up in Canada. And you think, well, how are they going to possibly meet in Canada at the same spot?
Yeah.
I'm always amazed at particularly in the days gone by, where people can keep tabs on each other in other towns, you know, and not necessarily, of course, we don't have the communication devices then that we have today. So I would think that the chances of him meeting up with that marshal up there will slim and none. But
they find each other in Laramie, though, don't they?
And, yeah, they make a deal to meet in Laramie 2 weeks from the time they parted ways. But Huey wasn't even certain what day it was. So, you know, he made it to Laramie, but he had to give his friend a couple of extra days to get there.
Yeah. And then they kind of just look for each other's horses, or they go in and out of, you know, open businesses, and they finally, you know, find each other. I think that's just that's so fun.
You know, I always ask a question, you know, as far as the characters are concerned, I know you write these guys and gals, and you got control of them, but do they ever surprise you at all?
Yeah, they do. Sometimes they take off and do things that I didn't really intend for them to do. And sometimes I think things through, and sometimes I just take off writing. And in those moments, sometimes the characters go off script, but I just let them.
You introduced, I think, a very important couple to the story. I don't think they're reoccurring, but you can correct me. Martha and Harold Thomas.
That's right. They are not reoccurring. I invented them for this book.
They become such a very important part of the story, and they're just great on the page. They're just a wonderful couple. You want to tell us a little something more about each of them, and then sort of how they operate as a married couple?
Sure. In Laramie, Huey needs to get his horse shod, so he goes to the blacksmith shop, and Huey doesn't have very much money, so he strikes a deal with the blacksmith to Huey will help him shoe some mules, and the blacksmith will give him his tools so Huey can shoe his own horse, and then they end up becoming friends, and Huey stays at their place underneath a tree. But Harold Thomas is an older horseshoer, and I don't know. I know many, many horseshoers, and I just took the personalities of all of them and mashed them together and came up with Harold Thomas. And I bet most horseshoers would agree that he's pretty accurate as, you know, occupation. And then his wife is a retired school teacher, and she's a strong, smart woman who is able to kind of keep her husband in line.
She has a gift of hospitality, doesn't she?
Yes.
Well, they both do, and she really does. And they're charming together. Any of the scenes of them together are just very enjoyable reading. And he has, you talk about shoeing the mules. Oh, that scene. And he's just, you know, he's just sitting down and taking a break and watching Huey with the mules. And it's just, I can just sort of see it happening on the big screen, you know.
Yeah. He doesn't like mules. They don't like him.
Those two mules are really fun. Is it George and George and what was the other mule's name? George
Molly.
And Molly.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, when we went to the Frontier Days rodeo, Cheyenne, we have this character Steamboat. Where did Steamboat come from?
Steamboat was an actual bucking horse back in those days, and I ran across his name when I was doing my research, so I put him in there, and Huey rode Steamboat in the bronc riding, which back then they called the bucking and pitching contest, but Steamboat had that name because he had something wrong with his nose, and he made a sound quite a bit like a steamboat.
And it sort of let the rider, they sort of learn some things about Steamboat will do this or that. So be ready if he does this or he does that. And so Huey has a very, very, very short lesson. But we, the reader, we read that lesson.
Yes.
And we can kind of anticipate what Steamboat's doing based on what you share about Steamboat. Such a fun. And there's somebody else at that. We're kind of just talking characters now. Yeah. We love to do this. We just sort of throw out a name and we learn a little bit more. There's another character in the Cheyenne Frontier Days, honey. What was her name? Do you remember? Oh,
Bertha.
Bertha.
Bertha. Yep. When I did my research, I found that during one of those early Frontier Days, they had not a contest, but a demonstration where a female bronc rider came in and just put on a show, sort of an act. And so I came up with the character of Bertha Simmons, and who was a great bronc rider, and Huey fell in love instantly and from a distance. But then when Huey later meets her up close, he's surprised that she's not nearly as beautiful and she's a lot more coarse than he thought she might be. And Huey has to retreat.
And he partly rode Steamboat because he was he draws the horse. He doesn't have a choice, but he's hoping that it will get her attention, right? And then it does. And then he does not want that attention. So it's so very enjoyable reading.
Because we kind of pick out, what we like to do is we pick out some of the fun characters, and we try not to pick out a character that could be a spoiler alert that someone introduced at a certain time. But we got this guy, Kelly. Where did you come up with him?
That's sort of a funny story. I actually met a man who was very much like the character Kelly. Mm-hmm. In that he was big and extremely boastful to the point of not telling the truth and sort of a bully. And I didn't care for that man. And I came home and wrote a character based upon him. And I had his reaction be basically like my reaction was to this person.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. We do have... we have a young woman, Daisy.
Yes.
Tell us about Daisy.
Daisy is Hanley Baker's niece. She lives in a small town where she teaches school, and she's not married, and she later falls in love with another one of the main characters, Bob Wilson.
Yeah. Will we find out? I know you're going to tell us in a little bit about other books you're working on. Will they go forward in another book? Will we follow them?
As it stands now, they have a mention, but they don't actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's the book doesn't have a lot of women, but the women that are there are just really fun to read. So what about Samantha Deering?
Samantha.
Samantha.
Yep. I came up with Samantha, and I don't know, I felt like I liked Samantha. She, at that moment, worked in the sheriff's office in Cheyenne, and Hanley was smitten with her, and then turns out Huey was too. But Samantha is a very, very attractive woman and smart, and I don't know, she does make another appearance in the next book because the relationship with Hanley continues.
Yeah.
Well, she's kind of special, and she kind of knows it. So.
Yeah. Yep.
She calls Hanley sugar. Sugar. Yep.
Sugar, that's right, sugar.
I need to start calling you that. Or you need to start calling me that. Yeah, sugar. Oh, very fun. Let's see, where are we on time? Oh, we're good on time. So you know what we're going to do right now, John? We are going to do our third little break. We're going to step away from our last word from our sponsors, and that is our business is a sponsor of this show, OutWestShop.com. So take a look at this, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with John. We'll be right back.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Ronnie with the Writer. We're talking with John about his book, The Familiar Stranger. Well, we have a great time, aren't we?
I can't wait to read the next one.
You know, we have a little story here. I didn't know what you want to talk about it, but perhaps your son Boone.
That's right.
You write about Boone sort of at the end of the book, and it's very touching. And John, if you'd like to share, we'd be happy to hear you talk about him.
Okay. My wife and I adopted a baby boy in 2017, and about 2 weeks after I finished The Familiar Stranger, Boone was killed in an accident here with me. And I wrote about that in a note in the back of the book because I had a very special thing happen to me the night after Boone died. I probably only slept for an hour that night, if that, but I had a dream. I feel like it was more than a dream, a vision. I feel like this was real, but in it, I saw Boone sitting down and Steve Kelton walked up behind him with Elmer, or walked up to Boone with Elmer behind Steve. And Steve said, "Come on, Boone, I want you to meet somebody. Let's go tell some stories." And I found out 2 or 3 days later that Steve's wife, Karen, had talked to Steve that night, you know, almost prayed to Steve and said, "Go to that boy, help him." So that means a lot to me. And perhaps not everyone will look at it the same way I do, but I believe that happened and that Steve helped my son.
It's quite a story.
Well, you are a wonderful storyteller, John. Wonderful storyteller. Tell us, what are you working on next? What might we expect?
Okay. I went on to write another Huey Calloway adventure, and that one follows Elmer's The Smiling Country. So it's set in approximately 1913 when Huey is a good bit older, more mature. Huey's having to settle down a little bit. Huey got married in the Smiling Country, so that continues. So that book is done, and I'm working on getting it published. I have a nonfiction. It is a biography of a man who was a Vietnam medevac helicopter pilot and then later went on to start a helicopter business in which he gathered livestock and did predator control all from the air. So... And then those are done, working on getting them out, and I'm working on a neo-Western fiction right now. So,
well, how fun. Do you have a favorite place that you like to write in, you know, favorite corner chair somewhere?
Right here. This is my desk. This is where I go.
Do you have a schedule when you write? Do you write in the morning, the evening, or whenever the spirit moves you?
I don't have a schedule because we have our small ranch and we have a couple hundred head of sheep and goats and cattle. And sometimes that takes a lot of time and sometimes that does not. And that has to come first just in case there's a problem. But when I get done with those things, I sit down and write. Sometimes that's several hours a day and sometimes it's 30 minutes. It just varies.
It varies. Do you like silence or do you like music or does it just depend on what you're writing about?
It's almost always silence. Every once in a while, I'll turn on a little music, but it's silence. I need silence.
It's silence. Yeah. John, where can people find you, follow you, purchase your books? How can they keep in touch?
They can find me on my website, johnbradshawbooks.com. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram. My books are available in, I'm going to say, small bookstores first because that's where I think people ought to buy them. And it is in a few small bookstores, but if you can't find it there, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the big.
Yep, and bookshop.org, exactly right.
That is right. That's where they should begin, first of all.
Exactly right. Well, Jim has a quote, I think. Jim, did you want to share a quote? I think we
have a quote. We like to take a quote from the book, you know. And there were a lot of things to choose from, particularly a lot of humorous ones.
So that's why we were just rereading things today. Oh, what about this?
So we picked this one. And this is our main character, Huey. He's describing the location of the doctor's office. And he says, it was part of a simple wooden building that held three businesses. The doctor's office was in the center, flanked on one side by a small pharmacy, and on the other side by the undertaker's office. That, Huey thought darkly, as he rained biscuits to a stop in front, it's some good planning. One way or the other, nobody has to travel far.
We've been talking with our special guest tonight, John Bradshaw, Albert Kelton's The Familiar Stranger, a Huey Calloway adventure. And we can't tell you strongly enough, you need to read this book. You'll just laugh and you'll smile and you'll think and you'll just have a really great time. John is still with us for a couple more moments. We want to go ahead, though, and announce next week, a week from tonight, August 7th, 2025, we will be celebrating our
third
birthday or anniversary. Yes, and we hope that you can join us. It is the first Thursday of the month, so as always, our good friend Henry Park, the author of The Greatest Westerns Ever Made and the people who made them. He also is the film editor for True West Magazine. Henry is with us the first Thursday of every month. He gets us all caught up to speed on what's happening in Western film and TV and such. And he is excited to be here to also meet our featured guest. And I'm very excited to have Anne Charles with us. Anne has written book after book after book, but we will be talking about the very first book that got her whole writing career started. This is actually, she sent us the collector's edition of the book, and it's called Nearly Departed in Deadwood, and it is a Deadwood mystery, and it is, you can't put it down, I'll tell you, this is another book. We just recently finally got to Deadwood a couple years ago. We were in real estate at one time. So Anne, if you're listening, you got us from the first page, and we really are looking forward to having you with us next week. So, John, thank you again for being with us.
Thank you.
You have to keep in touch as the next books get published so that we can set up a time to have you come on back.
Yeah. Glad to do it.
Yeah. And thank you to Sam Hassan and Hot Texas Swing Band. And do you have a final comment?
As we always say, it's always a great day out west.
Keep riding, and we'll keep reading. We'll see you down the trail. Good night, John. Thank you again, John, for being with us.
Thank you.